Have you ever been the victim of a telephone scam, sometimes called a boiler room operation? QuickBuck scam entrepreneurs thrive on being present today and not present tomorrow when it's time to deliver on promises. Is heaven here today and gone tomorrow? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. All this week, Lonnie Melashenko is discussing with us the reliability of heaven. Can God always be trusted, or should Christians store up extra manna just in case? We have a gift book for every listener, so stay tuned at the close for that. Right now, let's join Lonnie.
Thanks, Kenneth. The daughter of a friend of mine recently lucked into what she thought was a really good deal. A radio station announced some kind of closeout giveaway where, for just $6 each, you could buy coupons that could later be traded in for airplane tickets. $6 per plane ticket. Of course, these coupons weren't from the airlines themselves, but they could be redeemed through an agency of some kind down in Texas. Well, this college kid, always looking for ways to make some extra cash, decided to scrape out the bottom of her piggy bank and buy about 20 of them. Then later she hoped she might be able to get friends and relatives to use the tickets, reimburse her some reasonable fee, like $200 each, and she'd have $1,000 or so in profit. Well, when it came time to redeem these tickets with the Texas office, it was just kind of hard to get through on the telephone. Every call always seemed to get kicked into voicemail, and then the voicemail was full, and you had to call back later. And finally, when she did get through, she got referred to another telephone number, this one in Florida. And the recording there was very optimistic and cheerful. All of these tickets in this fantastic discounted program were being redeemed through that branch office. Oh, the phone might be busy, but do keep trying. Thanks for calling, etc. Well, you can tell where this is going, can't you? After a while, when you called these numbers again, there just plain wasn't anybody there. And finally, after weeks of overloaded voicemail boxes and referrals, someone put a recording on the air saying that anybody holding these coupons might as well get in touch with the Texas Attorney General's office, because there wasn't anybody anywhere out there who was going to be giving out plane tickets for the coupons. No way. This was pretty much a disconnected offer. Say goodbye to your $120. Friend, have you ever been burned that way? I have friends who have. My folks were taken in by a scandal some years ago to Australia, they thought. They gave their credit card and everything. You know, you order cruise tickets from a discount broker and suddenly there's nobody to answer the phone. Oh, the $2,700 is listed right there on your credit card statement, but you don't have tickets. And when you drive all the way down to Los Angeles and back to find the office listed in the classified section of the Los Angeles Times, well, there's nothing left but a vacancy sign. Or maybe a parking lot. Maybe there never was a travel office, just a couple of entrepreneurs with a computer and a hot phone. Well, they call these boiler room operations. A few quick phone calls, Visa card receipts, and then a mad dash out of town ahead of the sheriff's flashing red light. And back home, John and Jane Doe are left with full suitcases and empty wallets. The diabolical slogan for such profiteers seems to be, here today and gone tomorrow. They thrive on the appearance of stability, of presence. Business cards and a brochure that describes how they're on such and such a street, suite 200. And at first when you call, a receptionist answers on the very first ring. But when it comes time for you to receive what's been promised, that's when the gone tomorrow part of the slogan kicks in. Well, friend, this week we're taking a title from the Old Testament book of Exodus. Here it is. Storing up extra manna just in case. And really, maybe we human beings can't be blamed for our spiritual paranoia, because we so often experience betrayal in life. The fact that someone gives us manna today is no reason to expect that there will be more manna tomorrow. Say, can God be trusted every day? Yesterday we noted how some Israelites didn't really believe God would keep delivering on a daily basis, and they'd try to collect 2 days' worth at a time. But then, as the Bible tells us, the manna appeared without a single lapse every single week, every single year for 40 straight years. And maybe, just maybe, those who wanted to hoard food, the doubters in the group, learned to trust. How is it with us? Can our God be trusted not just with the issue of food supply, but in all areas of life? A favorite Bible verse has got to be this one, found in Psalm 68:19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Not just our grocery lists, mind you. He bears our burdens, the Bible tells us. Daily, He bears our burdens. But friend, can we trust that such a God is telling the truth about Himself? One of the most wrenching stories I've ever heard was related by the late World War II hero, John Widener, a longtime friend of the Voice of Prophecy, and subject of the powerful bestseller, Flee the Captor. Leader of an underground rescue smuggling team to help refugees and concentration camp inmates escape out of Germany and occupied France. Widener often encountered the here today and gone tomorrow syndrome of crooked, quote, passers, shady operators in the same line of work. A man named Smits had given nearly everything he owned to one such passer who promised to get him and his family safely to Switzerland. But about halfway through the trip, this man announced that, well, plans had changed. A second man would take them the rest of the way. Unfortunately, the second man needed more money. What? Smits didn't really have any more money, just emergency cash and a few threadbare belongings. Well, those last francs would have to be given to this new guide. So then the Smits family was handed off to the second guide, who took them a brief distance by train to Paris, and then suddenly excused himself. I have to go get a few things, he told them. Don't worry, I'll be right back. And he departed into the shadows of that forbidding Gestapo-occupied city, never to return. No guide, no money, no anything. All of the promises in the world had just slipped away in the darkness. Well, fortunately, my friend John Widener, a dedicated Christian, intervened and took the Smits family the rest of the way to freedom free of charge. And you know, I grapple for a moral to this kind of story. Here today and gone tomorrow. And I say to myself, well, God isn't like that. God is always there. There's manna provided every day, always. But I have to tell you that believing in the alwaysness of God does test our faith. Even John Widener himself was pushed to the very brink of faith on one occasion. Very late in the war, he was finally captured by the enemy Gestapo. And the secret police, delighted that they'd finally reeled in such a big fish as Widener himself, kingpin of the Dutch Parish Escape Network, well, they planned an execution for him. In fact, they told him he was to be shot the next day, and gave him paper to write final letters to relatives. Well, Widener and his cellmate managed to get a sympathetic guard, René Brunner, to give them tools to get out of their cell. But then the two would-be escapees had to stay perched on a third-story ledge all night, waiting until just after the 6 o'clock in the morning curfew before making a break for it. Well, that was the longest night of his life, he confessed later. He remembered the wonderful Bible story of the Apostle Peter, who was helped by angels out of prison. But I also remembered the story of John the Baptist, he said, who was beheaded in prison under similar circumstances. And Christians who want to believe in a God who is always there, always providing, have to remember both stories. Yes, Widener did escape from the Gestapo clutches. He died peacefully just 2 years ago in 1994, right here in the safety of Southern California, nearly a half century later. His precious wife Naomi still lives right near us here at the Voice of Prophecy. But Widener's own sister, Gabrielle, a beautiful young Christian woman, died at the hands of the Nazis in the camps at Ravensbrück and Königsberg. So did countless millions of others. And friend, in reflecting on experiences like these, we have to remember to trust in God despite the temporary setbacks of this earthly life. Yes, God does provide. Yes, it's true that our bread and our water will be sure, as promised in Isaiah 33. Yes, we know that God never fails. But in claiming these truths, we have to look beyond the horizon of this world and catch a glimpse of how God works in the lives of His people in totality, right through to the heavenly kingdom. Well, I'm sure Widener was tempted to doubt when he got the news that his sister was gone. And then when Susie Cray, a young female agent in his escape organization, was captured and brutally tortured and finally surrendered the names of the entire Dutch Paris organization to the enemy, resulting in multiple arrests and many tragic deaths, Widener must have wondered, where is God? Has he finally failed me? Has the supply of manna run out? No, friend. This great champion of freedom kept trusting God through the darkest moments of the Holocaust. He knew that some would escape and some would die. That's the way of this evil world. But right through to the conclusion of the war, he confessed later, he felt the hand of God leading him onward. Dr. W.A. Visser-Tehoeft, General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, later wrote about Widener, and I'm quoting, "He had that directness, that simplicity of faith, which made him realize that he was at all times in the hands of a loving God. He did not talk much about that, but he could show real astonishment when it was suggested to him that life in the resistance movement was an uncertain affair." Uncertain? Not for one who read his Bible and knew about the divine care. And it was because of this dimension of John's life that he, a Seventh-day Adventist, and I, the Reformed pastor, regarded ourselves not only as comrades in a common human cause, but also as fellow citizens of the eternal city.
And friend, you and I are also citizens of that eternal city, that better land. Our lives don't need to be uncertain either, not with a God like that. We'd like to share with each of you a copy absolutely free of the book Sack Lunch Miracles, 5 delightful radio messages taken from one of Jesus' greatest miracles. For your free copy of this book by Lonnie Melashenko and David Smith, call us toll free at 1-800-872-0055. Again, that's 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Sack Lunch Miracles. In Canada, write to Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Now here again is Lonnie Melashenko.
Thanks so much, Ken. Well, tomorrow, an interesting question. Is it ever possible to hoard away enough of anything? Can we stash up enough money, CDs, cans of applesauce, guns, and bullets? Here's our title. One more IRA ought to do it. Until then, Lonnie Melashenko, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
Randy Rivas bent the rules, and he made a few people late. He drives a bus for the Simi Valley Dial-A-Ride program and was dispatched to pick up a new passenger, a man confined to a wheelchair. At the house, in spite of his repeated knocking, there was no answer. Checking in by radio with his supervisor, he was told, "Wait 3 more minutes, then go on to your next stop." But something told Rivas to do more than wait. He walked around the house, looking through the windows, and heard someone calling for help. Back at the front door, he tried the handle. It was unlocked. The man was on the floor, face down, unable to move. He had fallen from his wheelchair. He was not hurt, just unable to get up. The driver helped him into his chair, wheeled him out to the bus, and headed for his next stop. As a bus driver, it wasn't part of Riva's job description to look through windows and pick men up off the floor. But he did what was right. He made a difference for good. Who could you help today? For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is Frank Gonzalez.